In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can do better than that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now you sound more awake. Glory to Jesus Christ. Slava Jesus Christus. Glory to Jesus Christ. If you could ask Jesus anything, what would it be? If you could ask him a question, what would that question be? Now, whatever it is, file it, because we'll get back to that later. This rich man, and this story appears in the scriptures no less than three times. This account is in the Gospel of Mark in the 10th chapter. It's in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we just heard Matthew's account in the 19th chapter of his Gospel this morning. Now, when you see something in the scriptures three times, would that say that it's pretty important? Yes or yes? Yes. God is trying to tell us something. Amen? Amen? So what's he trying to tell us? So at the time of Jesus, well, in Luke's account, Luke refers to the man as a rich young ruler, that he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he was pretty well off. He was rich. Do you consider yourself rich? By today's world standards, you and I are pretty rich. We're pretty well off. If we have a home, a roof over our head, food on the table, a job that brings income, if we have a vehicle or two or three or four, we're doing pretty well compared to the rest of the world, are we not? So we're rich. Jesus said how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How about us? To enter the kingdom of God means to enter heaven. How many have heaven in your travel plans? 12 of you, very good. Heaven, however, Jesus says, is attainable. And when this rich man, when this ruler dialogues with Jesus, I noticed a few things. First of all, he's very much like us. He's full of questions, full of vigor. He's living in a society that kind of encourages you to go do your own thing, be all you can be, get as much as you can get. And he did that, said he had many possessions. We kind of do the same, do we not? We're always out there looking for the latest whatever widget it is, the newest car, the newest gadget. What's the newest gaming station out there now? When I was around, good, I'm glad to hear that. When I was around, it was Atari. Now, what is it, Xbox? We're always looking for something, and we're looking for something to fill us. Are we seeking that in the right way? Something about Jesus drew this rich ruler to him. Maybe his authority, his stature, the way he taught, whatever it is, there was something that attracted this man to Christ. And so he came to him with a very important question, a life-changing question. And a few other things that I noticed about him. He came to the right person. He came to Jesus. Jesus, who is our Lord God and Savior. Yes or yes? Yes. And he comes to him. And it is only Jesus who can answer that question for him in the right way. Something inside him told him that. So he came to Jesus. And he came to him at the right time. Because it says that he ran to him. He came to him now. He didn't wait. St. Paul tells us that now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. When we see the word now in sacred scripture, what does it mean? It means now. Our God is a God of now. He is interested in you and me now. He wants your heart now. So he came to him at the right time. And he came to him in the right manner, because it says that he humbled himself and he bowed down before him. He came with the right attitude. So he's coming to Jesus, and he's coming at the right time, and he's coming in the right attitude. You know, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and all who run to it will be saved. Who are we running to? What are we running for? Or even better yet, what are we running from? But we are running, are we not? Running here, running there. We're always running somewhere. Because almost everybody I ask tells me, when I ask how they are, oh, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. So we're running. But are we running in the right direction? And we're dealing with God, who is a God of the now. The scriptures tell us to seek the Lord while he may be found, call to him while he is still near, so says the prophet Isaiah. Where are we spending our time? What are we looking for? This man is trying to find something to fill him. There is something missing in his life. Whatever he had, whether it was money, possessions, his home, we don't know whether he was married or dating, but the other relationships in his life, it wasn't enough. He was still seeking something. Sound familiar? And in a sense, he asks the right question. What must I do to enter eternal life? Has that thought ever crossed our minds? What must I do to gain everlasting life? What must I do to get to heaven? Well, Jesus tells him to follow the commandments. And the commandments, interestingly, are the last set of commandments. The first three about loving God, Jesus doesn't address. He addresses how to take care of humanity. By loving our neighbor. And this rich young man says, well, I have followed all of them since my youth. Now, if he's a good Jewish boy, he would be following the Mosaic law. That's 613 laws. How many of you, even myself, how many of us think that we could perfectly follow 613 laws? Little difficult, yes? Yeah. He's still empty. And Jesus says to him, here is what you must do if you wish to gain perfection. Sell all that you have. So when Jesus said that, you know what he's doing? He's actually putting his finger on what it is that is prohibiting him from entering into complete communion with God, who he is seeking. Sell all that you have. Get rid of every distraction, and then you will have happiness. Because you won't have anything holding you down or distracting you anymore. Then he says to him, and in Mark's account it says, to pick up your cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. How many know the cross is heavy? You might be carrying your cross at the moment, whatever it may look like. It might be sickness. It might be your own sickness or the sickness of a family member. It may be an interesting family member. That may be your cross. Your cross may be sitting next to you. But if we are going to follow Jesus, we must pick up our cross and we must come after him. And that's what he is inviting this rich young man to do. And then the scriptures in all three accounts says something astonishing. It says that the young man looked at him, even after Jesus embraced him with love, the rich young man looked at him and his countenance fell and he walked away very sad because Jesus just invited him to change his life and to embrace everlasting life, and it was too much for him to bear. And he walked away and left Christ and left the gift that Jesus had offered him. I gave a lot of thought to that. And I was sitting in the chapel yesterday contemplating the scriptures, and I'm thinking to myself, how many times have I encountered Jesus, who offered me the same, who told me to get rid of all of your distractions, all that prevent you from loving me? And how many times have I walked away sad because I just didn't want to let go? I wasn't ready to let go, to embrace the fullness of life that only Jesus can offer us. You and I entered into that life at our baptism, amen? Yes. Do we stay rooted in that life? What do we do to nurture that life, to ensure that you and I, at the end of our life, would see heaven? You know, I read a poll recently about Catholics in general. You know that only about 40% of us attend Mass or Divine Liturgy on a regular basis? 40%. Where's the other 60 who had the same gift of baptism that you and I have received? Where's the other 60%? It went on further. How many own a Bible? How many leave it on your shelf? How much time do you spend reading the sacred scriptures? Those scriptures came out of our church. Jesus didn't come down and hand us a Bible. Jesus established the church, and it was the Catholic Church that gave us the scriptures, that gave us those beautiful stories. Those scriptures are a love story. It's a love story of a father's love for his children. It's your love story and my love story. Do we embrace it? Do we spend time reading it? I would suggest if you're not reading the scriptures on a regular basis, if you would like your life to change, take 15 minutes a day. There's 24 hours in a day. Certainly we have to work. Certainly we have to look after the kids. Certainly we have to do all of the things that are required to get by living life. But I would be hard-pressed for you to come up and tell me, Deacon Tim, I just don't have 15 minutes to spare. 15 minutes a day. Well, I don't know where to start. Do you have a calendar from here? If you take just 15 minutes and you open up the calendar and you read the little notes on the bottom, it gives you the scriptures that are assigned to each day of the year. Just delve into them and ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Your life, I promise you, your life will change. And take Jesus at his word. Whatever it is that is distracting us from coming with him, cut it out. Get rid of it. That sounds kind of harsh. And it might be something you don't want to give up. But he's very clear in all three counts. This is what is preventing us from entering the kingdom of God. This is what will prevent us from entering heaven. How many people think good people go to heaven? I have news for you. There are plenty of good people in hell. Heaven is for those who follow Christ. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. As Catholic Christians, that is what we believe and profess. We're going to sing it in just a few moments. Today, beginning today, take a few moments to really listen to what is coming out of our mouths and begin to embrace it, because it is the story of our Christian life, our life in Christ. It is what we believe, and that is what will get us to heaven. If we leave the distractions, if we separate ourselves as best we can from this world, which offers us a dead end, it's materialism, it's individualism, it's hedonism, it's relativism, all of that is opposed to the heavenly kingdom, which offers us life in the abundance, happiness, and peace. In other words, everything that the world cannot offer us, we can find only in Christ. So if you were able to ask Jesus anything, what would it be? If you saw him, what would it be? And if you come up to the chalice, you will see the living God. You will see Jesus Christ himself, because that's who you're consuming. Allow him to consume you. I know what I'm going to ask. When I receive this morning, I'm going to say, Jesus, can you help me to become more and more like you? So that I can see through your eyes, so that I can love through your heart, so that I can walk with confidence the way you walk and do the things that you do to help build up the kingdom of God because I want to go to heaven. And I want to share that joy that's in my heart with every one of you, because I would like to see all of us, and not too soon, but all of us in the heavenly kingdom when our time slips away to eternity. And the only way that you and I are going to experience that reality is to embrace the Christ who loves us and ask him to change us so that we are more and more like himself. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.